so I didn't work around other people's time schedules and, you know, just go in and get it done. And yeah, so we flipped about 5 or 6 homes, and, you know, that was really satisfying too.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Hey, it's 12/12/23. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a special on. I was talking with John Rubino, and we jokingly said we were going to start Handyman Academy or Handyman University. And sure enough, a long time of FSN community member wrote to me telling me his success story that began as a handyman. And Mark F. is here. We have been corresponding, Mark, since you told me 2014. My email goes back to 2017. That's almost 10 years. We've been friends. We never met. We never spoke. We just corresponded. So it's really great to connect with you. And hey, so you were a handyman at one time. Actually, if I remember your email correct, you started as a realtor and then you were fixing stuff up, fixing places to sell and all that. And then other people asked you to do it. The next thing you knew, you had like a handyman business. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Well, originally, I dropped out of college after the first semester, and my father suggested I learn a trade. And he said, you know, if you're not going to college, learn a trade. So I learned carpet installation. And so I was a carpet layer. And then, you know, life went on, and I worked some different jobs. And then selling real estate, they also managed the properties. And they said, hey, can you run over and check this? Can you fix this breaker? Well, pretty soon they discovered my talent. And in the property management, next thing I know, I'm a handyman. I've got a truck. I'm doing lawn care. I'm doing snow blowing. You know, it's like the entrepreneur thing. You see a need and you fill it and then you monetize it. And
brilliant. And but like when you were growing up as a kid, you never said, "Daddy, I want to be a handyman when I grow up," right?
No, that wasn't in my goals. My father was a food broker, and so I was always associated with food. I went to school, to culinary art school. I thought I wanted to be a chef, and I know the chefs, they work the nights, the weekends, the holidays. So I thought, well, you know, this isn't for me. And so, you know, I branched out and tried several different things. During the rebate boom, you know, it was like, oh, there's a need for repairs.
And then you had like a bunch of people working for you too, right? Doing repairs?
Well, I had my nephew would help, and then some of his friends. He was about 8 years younger than me. So I had some younger guys that, you know, and there would be some projects like through a house to pass an inspection, it had to have an 18-inch crawl space. And it was only 14. So we would have to dig 4 inches of crawl space out from under a house. So I'd get these young guys and we'd get under there and we'd dig, and then we'd have to put down the plastic. And it was terrible work. So we bid it really high. We don't want this job. We're going to bid it really high. Well, yeah. Lo and behold, we were the only bid.
Yeah.
So then we...
I definitely don't want to do it price, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do it. And, you know, sometimes you just give people a bad price. And what happens, it's the only price because no one else wants to do it.
Yep.
You wind up doing it anyway, but I guess you made a good amount of money on it. So, hey, so life as a handyman, what was that guy, Schneider? I can't remember the show. One day at a time. Like, he was the handyman, right? So you were Schneider in last life.
I had an old building that we property managed, and so I would go in and take care of the laundry room and empty the coin up and mop the floors and that kind of thing. And at that time, there were a lot of Bosnian refugees coming in to the Twin Falls area. And so I had a lot of language trouble communicating and trying to take care of. I believe there was about 24 apartments in that building. But it was, you know, it was really interesting to meet, you know, so many different people and, you know, to be their hero, solve their problems, yeah. Fix their drain, to fix their light. You know, I got a lot of satisfaction from being able to do those things. And then, of course, other real estate offices learned of it. And appraisers said, well, you know, these have to be such, you might give more calls. So the business just grew by word of mouth.
Right. Gotcha. So from being a handyman, then you wound up doing flips, buying places, fixer-uppers, that type of thing?
I did, yeah. Being in the real estate business, you see the deals before anyone else does. And then I would use my commission for my down payment. And so, you know, my wife was really good with interior decorating. And of course, I had the floor covering. So we would buy homes and flip them and, you know, decorate them up. A lot of my benefit was knowing how to do all that. So a lot of flippers happen to hire a roofer and a sider and a guy to put in windows. And where I had the experience to do that, I was able to do all the repairs myself, you know, so I didn't work around other people's time schedules and, you know, just I went and get it done. And yeah, so we flipped about 5 or 6 homes and, you know, that was really satisfying too. There's a lot of satisfaction to, you know, fixing things, painting them up, making them look good, making them livable.
Sure. Yeah, it's very, I find that very satisfying. It's like an art of creating, right?
Yeah.
You know, I really like being able to do that, to take a place that's like a total pit and turn it into a place where people actually want to live. You know, there's a satisfaction and it can be highly profitable. As long as you're on the right time in the cycle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And the flexibility was good. You know, I had 2 little girls, and so I could take off and go to their school plays and, you know, pick them up after school. And the flexibility was really handy, you know, to be my own boss and set my own schedule.
Well, there you have it. So I think there needs to be a handyman university, don't you think? Not enough people know how to do these skills in this day and age. I mean, here in Palm Beach County, Mark, a good handyman gets $40-$50 an hour.
That here too, I called the handyman that's working up the street yesterday, and I said, well, what's your basic? He goes, well, we start at $50 an hour. And then he goes, we like to bid the job, but for our basic, it's $50 an hour. So, and now there's the benefit of YouTube, so you can learn. At the time when I started, there were, you know, trifold pamphlets from the local hardware
store. Yeah, and the Home Depot guy, well, he probably didn't have Home Depot when you started, but the Home Depot guy could tell you how to do it. I got to tell you a funny story. So I watched some YouTubes because I got this toilet that's phantom flushing, right? Which means, like, magically, the toilet just flushes every couple of hours. It's really annoying. It means
your flapper was leaking.
Right. Exactly. So the flapper is bad. So I said, you know, I'm just going to replace all the flappers because they're probably the same age. And I go to Home Depot and I buy them and said, universal flapper. Well, evidently there's 2 universal flappers and I got the wrong one. It was stupid. Pack to Home Depot, take it back. All right. I proceed to put the flapper in. And, you know, like modern toilets, they no longer have the float with the brass rail, the brass arm. Now it's like a built-in vertical float. So, and there's a hose that goes in there. And I accidentally knock the hose out of there while I'm putting the flapper in. Water shoots all over the place. I am soaking wet, cursing my brains out. Finally, I reach under and I turn the water off. I said, oh my God, I hope I don't have to call a plumber now. It's going to be like, he's going to laugh at me and he'll charge me extra for being stupid. Luckily, I figured out where the hose went, clicked it back in, fixed the flapper, and no more phantom flushing. So then, you know, like while I'm doing that, the handle breaks off. You know, it just broke off. It was ready to go. It wasn't anything I did. It was just corroded. Back to Home Depot. This time I get it, but it took me like a day or two to adjust the chain to the proper length so yeah. that flush properly and shut off properly. So, hey, I guess I should have watched the YouTube video a few more times before I embarked upon this adventure, you know?
Yeah, I snap a picture of the old flapper when you go into Home Depot to show the guy. Now, my phone's still a picture of those, you know, projects that need to be finished.
Well, my next project is I really need to replace the wax seal there. You know, that's a messy job. And I'm going to get a friend to help. I don't want to do this one on my own.
Yeah. 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 Rubber gloves.
Rubber gloves and, like, you stick a rag in the drain and, yeah, all that good stuff. But you know, it's probably cost me a couple $100 to get a plumber to do it.
And, if you can even get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can get one scheduled.
Right. So just do it myself and get it done. Hey, you know, that's one of the things. Never before has the information been so readily available so that you can handle most household repairs from, look, I wouldn't attempt to put a circuit breaker in the breaker box or screw around there. Because my feeling is that's just way too much above my pay grade. But putting in an outlet, putting in a switch, you know, even doing a little wiring, I have no problem with that. And it saves you money and you feel good after you do a job that you would have paid somebody to do, assuming you have the time to do it, you know?
Yeah, a lot of skill of a good handyman is to know when to call in the professionals.
Yeah.
Know when you're over your head and call in the professionals, because, you know, a lot of it is, you know, simple stuff, but you don't want to get in over your head and have a problem.
Because that will cost you double what it would have cost you
to
call the professional in the first place. Mark, you're retired now. What are you doing with yourself?
I'm a retail sales manager for a frozen dough company, and so Rhodes Bread. And so I call on grocery stores, I'm a couple years from retirement still. My father was doing what I'm doing when he was 90, and my brother's doing it at 80. So, you know, when you love what you do, it's not really a job. You know, it's you get out and visit with people every day and travel around.
It's so dumb. So look, if somebody wanted to become a handyman, all right, besides watching YouTube videos, there's other schools, trade schools, vocational schools, you're going to make $50 an hour. $50 an hour, if you can bill $30 a week, is $75,000. $1,500 a year, $75,000 a year, and that's mostly cash, all right? Although now, like, you pay the handyman with Venmo or Zelle or one of those payment apps or PayPal, but nonetheless, a lot of it's cash, a lot of it you know, just put in your pocket, and of course you're supposed to report it to the appropriate taxing authorities, which I'm sure everybody out there does, right? And where point is, so even if you're not doing well now, you're stuck in a fast food or whatever, you could spend literally 2 or 3 months learning this, watching videos, and, hey, experiment on your own toilet. Experiment on your own outlet, your own switch.
Yep.
Do
yep.
the painting. Repaint your house. Get the proper painting techniques down. Because a lot of handyman stuff is you patch up holes and you paint over it, right? So even in these tough times, you know, and tough times mean that probably maintenance gets put off. So when stuff does break, it's got to be fixed right away. There's opportunity here, right?
An opportunity. Wow. And, you know, go to a construction site and talk to the guys and, you know, the plumber, you know, kind of hang out and visualize. I mean, people love to share their knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, you start asking, you know, somebody, you know, on a job, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, I was putting a double oven in our home, and I talked to a contractor, and I said, I don't want to have dust all over from cutting the brick. What do I do? I said, you drill it. He said, just drill about every quarter of an inch, half an inch, all the way perimeter of your new oven, with, and then just tap it out with a hammer. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad I asked.
That's such because a great guy.
Yeah, I would have tried, you know, a saw, and I would have had red sawdust all over, red brick dust all over the kitchen. So, yeah, there's people love to share their knowledge. Yeah. They really do.
Hey, and we used to call these tips or whatever. Now they call them hacks. I mean, I've got tons of hacks, business hacks, everything else. You know, one thing I didn't mention I'm starting to do now is help entrepreneurs whose businesses are failing or not living up to their expectations to maximize profits. It's something I've been doing my whole life. It's so much easier to do it for someone else's business than yourself. It's ridiculous how easy it is. And I love doing it. So you got a business you want me to consult with? KL@KarriLutz.com. Mark, it's so great to finally connect with you and to share stories and experiences. Wish you the best. Hey, got a question for Mark or myself? Like I said, KL@KarriLutz.com. Mark, keep the emails coming. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.